Father, we thank you today for the many things you are doing in our lives. We thank you, God, especially for the work of your Holy Spirit within us. Lord, it is so wonderful to be forgiven for our sins, to have salvation, so rich, so full, so free from our Lord Jesus Christ. And what a great thing it is beyond that in our daily lives to be able to experience the working of your Spirit in us and around us through the gifts that you do give. We pray you would continue to illuminate us in this matter of the gifts of the Spirit and continue to help us each one to know what our gifts are and to walk with you in such a way that you can manifest your gifts in and through us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. This is our message number 8 in this series, Spiritual Gifts Part 8, as it were. Today we're going to be talking about the word of wisdom, the gift of the word of wisdom, the gift of knowledge and faith, the gift of faith as well. So word of wisdom, knowledge, and faith. We are here in now 1 Corinthians 12 today, so we can pick up the other list in the Bible of the gifts of the Spirit. And I'd like to read through the verses, then we'll focus on the next gifts here that we're dealing with. If you look at your Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Paul writes and he says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Spirit." He says that because these Corinthian people in their church were having these gift services. They would get together and it was just chaos. Chaos with the gifts is what you could call the Corinthian church. Chapter 12 and chapter 14 is here in the Bible, and it's written by Paul to the Corinthians to straighten out the chaos and to get them back on track. So there is a lot of corrective insight, especially when it comes to the gift of tongues, and we will be getting to that, though not today. There's a lot of corrective teaching here by Paul. And so obviously there were people in their midst who are crying out as they're in the midst of the chaos of this gift service and shouting that Jesus Christ was accursed. So that tells you how much chaos was in the service. So far today we haven't had that in ours. And if we do, an usher will tend to you. Now, we do go on to read, in verse 4, "There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one, notice, for the profit of all." When it comes to any particular gift, it's not just all about you. As I look at my Bible and I look at the gifts, it's not just all about me. It's for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge through the very same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gift of healings by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirit, different kinds of tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. But the one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually, notice, as He wills. So the gifts are given according to the sovereign will of God. God gives the gifts. God gives them as He sees fit, and in many ways He does it where and how He sees fit at any given time. So the gifts are given according to the sovereign will of God. Let me give you just a couple of introductory thoughts here today. One would be this: as you're looking at your life, you're trying to figure out, God, what is my area of giftedness? I would just put it this way: watch for the repeated. The things that God repeats, the things that He does more than once in your life when it comes to the area of the gifts of the Spirit. And then, by contrast, also watch over the long haul of your life, watch for the rare that God does. There will be the repeated happening all the time, and then there will be the rare, the occasional thing that God does. Watch for that, because that's how He works. He is, after all, God. He does things on His timetable. Let me give you an example of this. There was a pastor in Scotland by the name of Robert Murray McShane, great man of God, had a great and wonderful ministry, a great church. He went on an extended trip to the Holy Land. And while he was gone, he asked a friend to fill in for him in his pulpit. The friend's name was Robert Burns. Robert Burns came and began to preach each Sunday there in Robert Murray McShane's pulpit there in Scotland. God began to bless in a mighty way, and actually He poured out His Holy Spirit and revival just broke out. All these people were coming to the Lord. Thousands of people came to the Lord. This had never happened while McShane was preaching in his own pulpit. He had a great thriving ministry, but not this huge revival. He comes back from the Holy Land. Robert, you'll never guess what happened. Tell me, Robert. And so there they are, Robert Murray McShane and Robert Burns. And he tells them there's been this huge revival and thousands of people have been coming. It's incredible. I've never seen God work in my life in this way, Robert. Robert says to Robert, neither have I. And so they're comparing notes and rejoicing in the Lord. Here's what happened next. Robert Murray McShane took over his pulpit again, returned to his pulpit. He's back pastoring the church. And this huge revival sort of calms down. Robert Burns is then led by the Lord to go to China, where he is a missionary from there on out in his life in China. He never again experiences this explosive kind of work of God in his life. Rather, for the years that followed, he was quietly serving God in China, laying the groundwork for the many missionaries who would come to China in the future. And God used him in a wonderful way, but not in that explosive way like he had in those months when he was preaching in the church in Scotland. So, looking at that life of Robert Burns, there is the rare. There is the rare. In your life, He may do something like that. He may use you in this great and marvelous way during one season and then lead you on. And as you obey and follow, He begins to use you in a different way that's never quite like that. The lesson, I think, to learn in this is that we can't look to the Lord and figure out His work with a calculator in our lives. Lord, now you've done this. Let me just compute that. That means in the future you will always be doing this and this and this in my life. You can't figure God out with a calculator. Watch for the repeated, those things that He's always doing in your life, and watch for the rare and be open to both. And in this way, we experience a full-orbed work of God in our lives. And I know that along the way, it takes teamwork. Do you realize that in the Christian life and in the church, as we seek to have His kingdom come to us and through us, there's no such thing as stars. Now, there is some degree of Christian TV out there that would make us feel as though there are stars in the body of Christ. But from God's point of view, there's no such thing as a Christian star. It's teamwork. I'm reminded of an account in the life of the conductor Toscanini. It was related by Jackson Wilcox in a book that he wrote. During a rehearsal at the Metropolitan Opera House in New York City, the maestro offered some constructive criticism to the featured soloist. She was too proud to accept his help, however, and expressed her resentment by exclaiming in anger, "I am the star of this performance!" Toscanini responded wisely and firmly, "Madam," he said, "in this performance there are no stars." Wilcox commented in his book, he said, "Unless the soloist and the members of the chorus were ready to work together in harmony, there could in fact be no symphony." So it is in the body of Christ. If you're wanting to be a star today, that's not a spiritual thought. If you're wanting to be the local hotshot, that's not a spiritual thought. That is in fact a carnal thought. Why? Because in the Lord's work, it is, "Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, give us this day." You see, it's a group thing. It is not solo work alone that advances the kingdom of God. It's always teamwork together. If I look into my Bible to find a star, who is the real true star I'm going to find in the Bible? Jesus Christ. My Bible tells me in Revelation 22:16, Jesus says, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you of these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and I am the bright and morning star. There's only one star, it's Jesus Christ. For the rest of us, the minions in the kingdom of God, that's all of us mundane little normal people down here, it's teamwork together. And this is so important, because if you're one of those with the aspirations of being a superstar in the body of Christ, you need to turn and redirect that energy toward exalting Jesus Christ as the one and only star. I always love the example of John the Baptist. Behold the Lamb of God. May the Lord give us all that same attitude of heart to point people to Jesus Christ. Now, let's plunge into looking at the gifts that are before us. To begin with, we're going to look at the word of wisdom. The word of wisdom in 1 Corinthians 12, we find it in verse 8. For to one is given the word of wisdom. This is very practical. In fact, everything we're going to say from here on out is very practical. The word of wisdom is a very practical gift by the Holy Spirit. We could define it in this way. It is an utterance inspired by God and spoken by man. It reveals a part of the total wisdom of God. It is seeing what God sees in a given situation and then saying it. It's seeing what God sees in a given situation and saying it. It is the ability to know and apply God's wisdom in a given situation. Very, very practical. Now, understand, this is not the same as walking with the Lord, reading your Bible and praying over it, and becoming wiser with the passing of time. That's cultivating wisdom as you grow in the Lord. This is not the same as that. This is a situational, momentary move of the Spirit of God upon your heart and your mind, where He gives you wisdom and insight. It's His wisdom coming from Him to you to apply to a given situation. Do you understand the difference? It is, in fact, a spiritual gift that comes from the Lord. What is the purpose of the gift of wisdom? It is to bring guidance, to help groups or individuals to understand what God's will is on a given matter. Here you have a situation, there may be some perplexity, or it may be that the situation is very important and the decisions that are made are critical. You need that guidance from God. Perhaps you've even stopped and someone said, let's pray. We need to really seek the Lord on this so we do the right thing. You pray. Somebody just feels burning within their heart. I have to say this. This is what I think God wants us to do. And maybe you're repressing it. You don't even want to say it. But finally, you know, can I just share this with the group? I'm not sure if this is the Lord or not. And that's the best way to approach this. Don't be all puffed up and here we go, folks. I'm feeling it now. Here it comes. I'm feeling it now. I've got the wisdom. This is what we do. When you have that approach, you're open for some error there as well as some arrogance. Arrogance. There are those that want to play that role. But if it's really the Lord, the wisdom from above is peaceful, it's easy to be entreated, and it's going to really bear witness with everyone. I don't know if this is the Lord, but what do you think about if we did this? Or what do you think about if you went this way? That's the way to approach it. The Bible says in Proverbs 25:11 that a word fitly spoken, and that's a word of wisdom, a word fitly spoken, it fits the situation, is beautiful. It's like golden apples in pictures of silver. They stand out so beautifully. It's a beautiful word when you have that word of wisdom from the Lord. James 3:17, I just alluded to it, says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, it's peaceable, it's gentle, it's easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. So if you have a true word of wisdom from God, it's not going to taste like flesh. You understand what I mean? How many here have ever put spaghetti into Tupperware? You're just lapping up that spaghetti there, and then you're so full, you've already eaten too much, but there's more left, so you've got to save it for later, and you put it in Tupperware. You leave it there, you forget about it for a few days. If you're like me, if you have leftovers, you forget about them for a few days and suddenly you're ravenous. And you go to the refrigerator, you open it up, there must be something here for me. Surely at 1 o'clock in the morning I can have a good snack. And there it is, the spaghetti in the Tupperware. You pull it out and you notice that the Tupperware, though clear, when holding it up to the light, is sort of stained with the color of the spaghetti. And when it's time to wash it after you've devoured that wonderful pasta delight that's in it, you'll notice that there's still this stain that's in there, and it sort of smells like spaghetti. You even wash it, and you want to put it away, but you can't let go of it to put it in the drawer because it's still red with spaghetti sauce. And if you put Jell-O in it the next day, it tastes slightly like spaghetti. That's the taste of the vessel. When somebody claims to have a word from the Lord, it's going to be without hypocrisy. That person that it flows through, they're not going to pollute it with this fleshy taste of the human vessel. You understand what I'm saying? It's going to be peaceful. It's going to be gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruit, without partiality, without hypocrisy. That's the wisdom that comes from above. We have examples of this in the Bible. If you want some practical examples of the word of wisdom, in Acts 6 in the Bible, if you take your Bible and turn to Acts chapter 6 to verse 1, we have the account of the widows who were being neglected in the daily distribution. And given this many women neglected to this magnitude, it's important that they handle this properly or there's going to be trouble in the church, I guarantee it. So in Acts 6:1, in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a murmuring against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men. Notice they didn't just leave it there. Find 7 men to take care of this. We're busy. We got to get back on the word. No, what follows is the wisdom from the Lord. Look out among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, that we may appoint them over this particular business. We want people filled with the Spirit to do this. This is the word of wisdom from the Lord, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word." That's a good word from the Lord too. Because the last thing you would want is for the ones that are the teachers that feed and lead the flock to have to leave the word of God in prayer and go and take care of waiting on tables. And as a result, nobody gets fed. They all become spiritually anemic. Very important decision that was made here. And God gave them this word of wisdom of how to handle the situation. And we find that to be true in verse 5. Acts 6, 5. "And the saying pleased the whole multitude. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip." Two guys who went far beyond the ministry of deacon to be used of God, but they started here, and these other names. So here is a word of wisdom from the Lord that applies to the situation and it works beautifully. This is something that comes from the Lord. In the early church, they had a problem with the Gentiles keeping the law. Go to the right in the book of Acts, to chapter 15, verse 13. Big problem. The Jewish people that had become believers wanted the Gentile believers now who'd come to the Lord to keep the law. Big problem. So they're having a meeting, big meeting in Jerusalem, and they need a solution. In Acts 15, 13, "When they finished, James spoke up. 'Brothers, listen to me,' he said." Verse 19. After he reasoned with them from the Old Testament, down to verse 19, he says, "It is my judgment, therefore." Here's the word of wisdom. "It is my judgment, therefore, that we should not make it difficult for the Gentiles who are turning to God. Instead, we should write to them, telling them to abstain from food polluted by idols, from sexual immorality, and from the meat of strangled animals, and from blood." The fact that James' word of wisdom was from the Lord is borne out, if you look down at verse 28, it says, "It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us." You see, when it's from the Lord, it's peaceful, it's easy to be entreated, and it actually is helpful. As we are talking about word of wisdom today and word of knowledge, these are two things in the Christian world that are so abused. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge are so abused. You have in certain circles of Christianity those that always have a word from the Lord. Every time you see them, they have a word from the Lord. You've been having a nice fellowship, but now it's time to go and go your different ways. And they, wait. Just let me get you aside here. I have a word for you. And there are these people that always have a word from the Lord. And yet in your own life, as you listen to them give you this word from the Lord, so often you're listening going, this is not God. In fact, this is the opposite of where God is taking me in my life. This is the opposite of what God is doing. This is their wild fantasy of what they want God to be saying through them today. This is how they want to be used. They want to be perceived as the basic hotline in the church to God. They're the ones that get all the messages from God. And anybody that gets close to them is going to get a new message from God. Those people usually are so caught up in their own overactive imagination that they, in fact, only confuse the issue. So you see, that's the extreme, but it's totally not rare. You find people like that everywhere. All the years I've been a Christian, I've been bumping into people like this from day one. Day one. Now, I love it when someone really has a word from the Lord, and that's why we're talking about the word of wisdom right here. But when you have that individual who always has some wild and zany thing to tell you that's the Lord, that's the individual that needs to go back to their Bible and really look at the things we're looking at here today and begin to flow in the Lord and let the Lord really and truly work. Now, let me be very specific. If you're one of these in our midst with an overactive imagination, reel it in a little bit. Just reel it in a little bit. You might feel that impulse. Time to grab somebody. Let's see, what should I say to them is the word for the day from the Lord. Oh, let me think. Reel it in a little bit. Take a break. Abstain. Fast. Fast from the word for the day to somebody and instead pray. Fast and pray. Fast from doing it and pray. Lord, is this even really you? I've been doing this for years. Is this really you? I'm not getting that big of a response from people. Not getting the cards and letters coming in. Thank you for your words from the Lord. You have divinely guided my life, and it's now spiritually successful all because of you. If you're not getting the cards and letters coming in, maybe you should fast and pray. Fast from doing it, pray about it. And maybe God will tell you, stop doing that. I never was in it anyway. You have other gifts. Please use them. You know, you have the gift of helps. Start moving a chair. You know, for starters. And He will. This is, though I'm kind of being funny about it, because to me it is funny, but it's also sad. These are realities that cause you to grow. There have been times when I've just laid my hand on the shoulder of the individual and say, you know, you give me these words all the time. They've never one been from the Lord. Can we pray together and ask God what your gifts really are? I love you, but stop doing this. You know, on the other hand, you might have just the opposite. A completely dynamic, spiritual individual who needs to start opening their mouth. You understand the difference? And that's the problem. The one who's so careful might not say anything when they should. And the one who's not careful at all says a lot of things when they shouldn't. Somewhere in the middle is Jesus Christ. Somewhere in the middle is the balance. Somewhere in the middle is actually the work of the Holy Spirit and the gift of wisdom to be found. You see these examples in the Bible. And it's good in your life to actually look with the word of wisdom. Having given a word of caution now, the Bible does tell us in Proverbs 11:14, where there is no counsel, the people will fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. So, if I'm really weighing out a given situation and I talk to some reputable people in my life who really do know the Lord, who really do walk with the Lord, and I talk to this individual and this one, the chances of getting a word of wisdom from the Lord are greater. You understand? We don't want to be those who run up and down the ranks of God's people just looking for someone to tickle our ears and give us the answer we're looking for. That's entirely different. But to go to some trusted individuals in your life and say, do you think this is what God's doing? I need wisdom on this. And you go from one to another, and then suddenly, there it is. You pray together, and I don't know if this is God or not, they say, but then they give you what's on their heart and you're going, you know what, that is God. That is exactly the missing puzzle. That is a beautiful thing when that happens. And that's why with a multitude of counselors, there is safety. We want to be careful. We want to be spiritual and go forward as well and give God room to work in this way. The word of wisdom. It is only the foolish man who depends entirely on his own judgment. We're all in this together. We do much better together with teamwork than we do alone. Word of wisdom. Let's talk about the word of knowledge. This is a great gift. We find it in 1 Corinthians 12:8. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. Let's define it. What is the word of knowledge? It is knowledge given to you by the Holy Spirit, which was otherwise beyond your perception. It is the truth of facts which the Spirit reveals to you concerning a specific situation. So, when God does this, and He does do it on the pages of the Bible, when He gives this knowledge that could only be there if He gave it, because otherwise you have no way of knowing it. When He does it, He reveals it for a specific situation and for the edification of those involved. This is one of the biggest, most abused gifts. Specifically among, can you guess, where do you think this word of knowledge is abused probably the most? Who abuses the word of knowledge the most? The faith healers. The faith healers. Those people out there that meet in the big convention centers and so on, and people flock with their afflictions to be prayed for and healed. These faith healers out there, and there are many, abuse this. Someone is here tonight wearing a red jacket. Someone is here this morning with a back problem. You know what? Likelihood of someone with a red jacket is great, and the likelihood of a back problem is really great. This is a very abused thing. Somebody's here today with a hurting big toe. Well, now that you mention it, you know, you start feeling your own big toe. I've been walking on that thing a lot. Very often you get these general things that pretty much anybody would have. And the Lord wants to move on you. Ooh, it's me. One time I was in a service, and it was that time in the service where the person up there in charge, it's now it's time for healing. Oh, God heals every week at 7:15 in this church. Okay, now it's time for healing. And I'm, I was a brand new Christian. I was all excited. My nose had been broken about four times at that point, and I couldn't breathe out of it. So I'm wanting a healing, you know, immediately. I'm a brand new Christian. First thing I want is God to give me a new nose. So it's healing time. And word of knowledge. And somebody's out there and they can't breathe right. Odds of that are very great. So immediately it's me. Oh, it's me. Oh, and he said, take a puff. Take a puff. It's springtime. You can breathe now. And I'm, you know, sucking in the air because I couldn't breathe well. It's like with 10 times the effort, I could get some air in there. Oh, wow, yeah. And now just tell us, who are you if you've been healed? And I bolted to my feet. Oh, man, it's me. You know the sad part about that story? The next day and all following days, my nose only got worse. I wasn't healed. It got worse. And finally, I had to have an operation on it just to be able to breathe. All of that is to say I wasn't healed. But I thought I was at the moment, and it seemed so fantastic. I have other stories to tell, but we have to get to other gifts before we tell those, you know, like healing other people, stuff like that. A number of years back, there was a very famous faith healer by the name of Peter. Do you know the name? Popoff. Peter Popoff. Peter Popoff would get up and he would, in his service, say, we have someone here today. Your name is Bill. You live on 2028 Elm Street and you have a problem with your lungs. Now, Bill, the Lord is wanting to heal you. Oh my gosh, He knows my address. He knows my name. And He's up there presenting this as the word of knowledge. As time went by, there was a couple of fellas who got interested in the fact that they didn't think this was really God. So they started to research it, and they had their electronic equipment there. They started to get the idea, maybe He has someone transmitting to a little earbud in His ear the information about these people. So they went in, they brought their equipment, all stealth. They went to the service, and they turned on their recording. And the equipment picked up on the right frequency. His wife, Peter Popov's wife, transmitting to him, reading information from these little cards that had been filled out. When you came, walked through the doors, you had to fill out a card with your name, your address, your affliction. So then, after everything gets started, she withdraws to a private room and she turns on her little broadcaster. Peter Popov indeed had a little thing in his ear, and she would speak to him. Now, there's a guy named Bill, and he lives at such and such an address, Elm Street, and he has this problem, and he's going, let me see, oh, God is talking to me. You know, it's always the weird voice. God is talking to me, and there's a guy, and his name is Bill. It's coming to me. Oh, Jesus, it's coming. And it's, it's a breathing, thing. And the Lord wants to heal your lungs. Man with the breathing problem named Bill who lives at 2028 Elm Street. Oh, there's Bill over there. Oh. Well, these fellas recorded this. I listened to it yesterday on the internet, in fact. Yesterday. I typed in Peter Popov, Google him, you know, and I listened to it. It was shocking to me. So they busted him. No one would listen to these fellas, so that back then Johnny Carson had his talk show, so they went on Johnny Carson and they played the tape for the whole world. Peter Popov, 1987, was exposed as a fake. You would think that people would say, oh my gosh, he's such a fake! Especially Bill from Elm Street, you know? Oh my gosh, he's such a fake! We need to stay away from him! Well, his ministry went down for a while and then it went right back up. You want to know why? The Bible says in 2 Peter 2:2, many will follow their destructive ways. Many. Because of whom the way of the truth will be blasphemed. People like this. By covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time their judgment has not been idle and their destruction does not slumber. God will judge these individuals. So, after that, people continued to flock to hear him even though he had been exposed for being a fake. That is the abuse of the word of knowledge. Doesn't mean that God doesn't do it. It does mean that it's abused. Now, if God gives you this gift, will you have it all the time? Will he give you effectively a bionic ear? Turn it into the frequency of heaven. And basically, you can tune in any time and get a message any time. You just kind of look around and God gives you info on people. You know, I can aim it. One charismatic teacher, now gone off the scene, used to say, I can aim it. When the Holy Spirit's moving in our midst, I can aim it. Crazy stuff goes on. Does God give you a bionic ear? No. Sometimes I wish he would. You know, it's like, Lord, I want to know everything about my life. Let me just tune in here and you just keep talking to me. Don't ever stop. Well, that's dreaming. It doesn't happen quite like that. So how does it work? It works situationally where God gives you information that you could not have otherwise. One of my favorite examples of this in the Bible is negative, but still it's real. Turn in your Bible to 2 Kings 5:20. We have the account of Gehazi, the servant of Elijah, as he has interacted with Naaman the Syrian, the leper, who got healed. 2 Kings 5:1, we find out Naaman is the commander of the army of the king of Syria, great and honorable man in the eyes of his master. And yet he's a leper, so he's told by their servant, who's an Israelite, there's a man who could bring healing to him, so he goes seeking the healing. And then Elisha tells him to go dip in the Jordan 7 times and he'll be healed. He finally does that after putting up a fight. Then, after he's healed, he's so excited he wants to give all these lavish gifts to Elisha the prophet. And Elisha wants nothing to do with it. Why? He wants all the glory to go to God. Now, his servant Gehazi's watching all this. And he's thinking, man, we got to at least cash in on some of this stuff. You know, Naaman got healed, let's get some of the stuff. He brought a lot of stuff. And he doesn't have any regard for God getting all the glory. He wants some of the stuff. So after they have left, Gehazi runs back and finds Naaman with his entourage. And in verse 20 of 2 Kings 5, Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said to himself, My master was too easy on Naaman. By not accepting from him what he brought, and as surely as the Lord lives, I will run after him and get something from him. You see that? He's talking to himself. He's not talking to the Lord. He says, as surely as the Lord lives. Oh, so spiritual, isn't it? Spiritual fantasy thinking. Here it is again. As surely as the Lord lives. This is all about God. I'm going to do this for God. No, you're not. You're talking to yourself. You're going to do it for yourself. So here he goes. Surely as the Lord lives, I will run after him and get something from him. So Gehazi hurried after Naaman. When Naaman saw him running toward him, he got down from the chariot. He says, hey, is everything all right? In verse 22, he said, hey, yeah, everything's all right, Gehazi answered. My master sent me to say, big fat lie. The master told you to stay away from this. My master sent me to say, two young men from the company of the prophets have just come to me from the hill country of Ephraim. Please give them a talent of silver and two sets of clothing. You can see the twinkle in his eye as he's thinking about all this coming his way. Wait till I get my hands on that. And verse 23, by all means, said Naaman, and take two talents here. He urged Gehazi to accept them and then tied up the two talents of silver in two bags with two sets of clothing. He gave them to two of his servants and they carried them ahead of Gehazi. This is a lot of stuff. It takes a couple of men to carry it for him. So here's Gehazi. In verse 24, when he came to the hill, he took the things from the servants. He's getting close to home. He's getting close to where Elisha is. All right, you fellas. Hey, thanks. Let's just stop here and take a break. I just live over the hill. Hey, you know, thanks for all your help. Thanks for the stuff. Thanks for the silver and the clothing. This is really nice. You guys can go. I won't be needing you anymore. I'm almost there. Why don't you go ahead and take off? Wait for them to take off so he can come in all stealth and hide this from Elisha. He'll never know. Watch what happens. Verse 24. When Gehazi came to the hill, he took the things from the servants and he put them away in the house. He stashed it away. He had a hiding place already. Elisha will never know about this. Ooh, here it is. Now you stay here, my pretty little things, my precious. And I'll be back later. And then he goes off, you know, waltzes in front of Elisha, you know, like everything's casual, chewing on a little piece of grass. Hey, what's going on, Elisha? He'll never know. So we read in verse 25 that he went in and he stood before his master Elisha, and Elisha says, he's just looking at him. Probably thinking to himself, man, he's acting weird. Got a funny look on his face. And he's all twinkling at him. Where have you been, Gehazi? Elisha asked. Oh, your servant didn't go anywhere. Oh, little thing, yawn. Your servant didn't go anywhere, Elisha. Why? What's up, man? Verse 26, Elisha said to him, was not my spirit with you? Details. Was not my spirit with you when the man got down from his chariot, walked over to meet you? Is this the time to take money? Or to accept details, clothes, olive groves, vineyards, flocks, herds, or men servants or maid servants. We are not in this for the money, for the stuff. We do what we do for the glory of God alone. And because when he works, it is so mighty and awesome, we don't want any confusion whatsoever. This is all about Naaman's soul. It's not about you. It's not about getting stuff from somebody who has money just because we've ministered to them. Don't you understand how you've blown it? And that I know! At that point, Gehazi's going, Elisha knows. Well, of course he knows. He just told you. You know? So here he is the whole time. He'll never know, man. He'll never know. I'll get all the stuff. He'll never know. And yet, the one thing he didn't reckon on was God. He did not reckon on God. He failed to factor God into the whole thing. For example, what if God tells Elisha? What if he just tells him? He didn't reckon on that. I find that staggering because of all the things that God told Elisha. I mean, if ever there was a guy around who you thought might have a bionic ear, it was Elisha. So to run off and do something like this, well, today he won't tell him anything. In terms of production, this is a dark day. Nothing really going on. We're not producing today, you know? No telecast today. He won't tell him anything. He failed to realize that. I remember reading that story early in my Christian life, and ever since then, I'm always thinking, what if God tells? Because here's how simple it is. God can tell anything He wants at any moment. What's that, Lord? Look to the front row. A man in black. Lord? You see, talk is very cheap. God's not telling me anything about the man in the row in the black shirt and the black shoes right now, who lives in Fremont. Talk is cheap. It can be fake, but it's also real. God can tell anything He wants at any time. I remember reading my Bible and reading of Ananias and Sapphira in Acts 5 when they thought they could fool everybody. And Peter gets a word of knowledge and he says in Acts 5:3, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back part of the price of the land? Hey man, it was all yours. You didn't have to give any of it. Why are you lying to God and to us about it? And then the guy falls over dead. And his wife comes in and thinks, nobody knows. Same thing happens. God told Peter. Paul was in a storm in Acts 27, and an angel came to him. They were on their way to Rome, and it looked like everybody was going to die. God, wanting to save Paul alive, saves everybody. He dispatched an angel who showed up and told Paul what was going on. Paul then has a genuine word of knowledge about what's going to happen on that ship. So he tells everybody on the ship, everybody listen up. If you want to live, listen to me. Because an angel of God stood by me this night. I know what's going to happen to us. I also know what you have to do to live. You have to listen to me. And they listened to him and they lived. That was a genuine word of knowledge from the Lord. I've heard a real word of knowledge from the Lord a couple of times. A couple of times. In over 30 some years of walking with the Lord. A couple of times. Where I felt it was real. So I still look for it. I look on the page of the Bible, I see it's real. I know God can tell me or anybody else whatever He wants at any given time. In the ministry as a pastor over the years, there have been times when God has simply told me things that I had no way of knowing about a situation, and it was a serious situation that affected the whole church. So I had to act upon it. And upon inquiries, I found out it really was God. I had no way of knowing. I just felt it from God. Doesn't happen all the time, but it has happened. So I encourage you, as you walk with the Lord, be open to the Lord. Be open to the Lord because these gifts are given for the glory of God. God gives these gifts severally as He will for His glory to advance His kingdom. Ultimately, when He acts, it's to bless because it is His nature to bless. Gehazi got in big trouble because he needed to get in big trouble from God. He needed to learn the lesson. He couldn't fool God. God wanted to work in Gehazi's life so God could work through Gehazi's life. You understand? So when he got leprosy and people asked him how, you know what he was telling people? Watch out for the word of knowledge. God can tell anyone anything at any time, and I'm living proof of that. You know? So now he's giving glory to God. But it was the hard way around. We don't want to take the circuitous route around to give glory to God. Much better just to walk with God. Be sensitive to God. I look for the word of wisdom all the time in my life, in circumstances. I look for the word of knowledge. If it's necessary, I always say to God, if there's something I'm not hearing from you, please tell me. In preparing sermons, I always say to the Lord, Lord, if in the middle of the message you want to say something to me and through me that I don't know or that I haven't thought about, do it, Lord. I always pray that. And sometimes when people walk up to me after a message and they say, you must have had a microphone in our car and been tapping in on our conversation on the way to church. How did you know? You were talking about that. One time I had after a service, a guy came up to me, livid. He was so mad. He said, what's the idea? I'm looking at him like, I was all blessed and happy. He's, what's the idea? I said, well, I don't know. What is the idea? He said, you were talking to my wife. She called you up and filled you in on everything that happened in our house this week. Now you have to stop doing that or I'm not coming here anymore. I said, I love you, brother. I don't have a clue what you're talking about. What are you talking about? He ended up leaving the church because he was certain. You know, that I'd been talking and finding out about his life. I had no clue. I have no clue to this day. So I love it when that happens. To me, I just see it as the Lord. And I love it when it happens and I don't even know about it. Because guess who gets really all the glory? The Lord. We were going to study the gift of faith, but we don't have time. So we'll study it next time. I will say this, this church would not be here if it wasn't for the gift of faith. Pastor Steve, I believe, was given the gift of faith back at the beginning. He came to me, said, we need to open the doors so these people have somewhere to be fed the Word of God. Definitely the real gift of faith. More on that next time. Let's pray, shall we? Lord, we do thank you today for the work of your Holy Spirit in our lives, for all that you do, all that you have done, all that you're going to do, to bring your kingdom to us. God, open our hearts to what is truly the work of your Holy Spirit. Open our Bibles that we might see the work of your Spirit on the pages of the Word of God. May we live real lives before you. If there is a word from you, may it truly be a word from you and not just a wild imagination. But do give us these gifts. Do work in these areas. And we know the gifts come sovereignly from you. So open our hearts to be sensitive to exactly what gifts you're working in and through us, and to the gifts working in and through those around us. And we will give you all the glory. Father, you are worthy of all the glory. We ask these things, looking forward to your work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.